Well, today we're going to be looking at the book of Psalms again, but not one written by David. And here's what's different about today's message. It is not merely another tool for us to use when trouble comes. However, it is important to know when trouble comes. It's not just another tool today. This is not just another arrow in your quiver, and this is not for somebody else. This is for you. This is for me. Today is promotion day. You're going to move on from basic Christianity to advanced Christianity. Tell your neighbor, I'm in the advanced class. Tell another neighbor, I'm in the advanced class. We're going to move on to be advanced level Christians. I thought about this as I was preparing, as I thought about my little Bible students, and I thought they might say, that's just like the pastor, just when you're getting your groove, just when you're getting comfortable, he wants to stretch you, but this is God wanting to stretch us, amen?
Amen.
Moving on from the basics on to the advance, amen, you with me?
Amen.
So now let's talk about what's required of those who are operating in the realms of advanced Christianity. What's required of the advanced students? What's different about Christianity 201 as opposed to 101? You ready for the answer?
Amen.
You have to learn how to do less. You might think, well, I got to do more. But I want you to pay attention. Notice my cadence today, I'm slowed down. I want you to understand that it's time for us to move on to advanced Christianity. No milk. You have to learn how to do less while you think that an advanced Christian would have to know how to do more. You literally need to do less. Beginning today, we have to acknowledge that Jesus is not just in our hearts, but he's in the car of your life. He's in the car of your life. He's in the car of my life. So the fact that we insist on driving a car when we have the big G God in the car is a problem. Advanced Christians don't have to drive the car because they know they have a better driver in the car with them. Advanced Christians don't operate that way. Amen?
Amen.
Why would we insist on driving when we have Jesus in the car with us? Amen?
Amen.
And here's the thing. The tougher things get, the more we grip the wheel. Tell me how that makes sense. We've got the big G God in the car with us. And the tougher, more complicated, more difficult things get, we do what? We grip harder. The tougher things get, we have Jesus in the car with us, we start worrying. Now, you're a pedestrian, somebody that needs to know God but does not have God, and they see us in the car with God in the car, and we're gripping the wheel. What does that look like to the world? What does that look like to a baby saint watching an advanced saint grip the wheel? What message does that send? The tougher things get, the more we grip the wheel. The tougher things get, the more we what? Worry. What does that tell you? That's baby saint stuff. Amen?
Amen.
The tougher things get, the more we try to control the situation. The more we try to solve the problem. That's not advanced Christianity, amen?
Amen?
I hope I'm talking to the advanced class.
Amen.
That's what I came here for. That's what I'm supposed to be teaching today, amen?
Amen?
As advanced Christians, we have to be experts at letting go. Counterintuitive. You thought advanced, you're supposed to do more, some fancier tricks. Some advanced techniques. Well, if you want to call this a technique, fine. That's fine. We can call it a technique. But advanced Christians know how to let go. let go of the wheel. If you see somebody that's been with God for a long time, you should see them solving their problems differently. You should see them dealing with their storms and their battles differently. They should show up differently. Because that's what you look like when you have yada knowledge of God. Not head knowledge, experiential knowledge. So after a while, you should know that, guess what? He's a better driver. So the tougher things get, who do you put at the wheel? If things were tough and you had somebody that was a better driver, wouldn't you say, hey, you drive? Or it's going to be dark. I'm not so great in the dark. You drive. Or it's going to be heavy traffic or freeway driving. Some people say, you drive. So why do we grip the wheel tighter when things get tougher? That's little G God worship. We're talking about advanced Christians. When the going gets tough, we let Jesus have the wheel. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready to be an advanced Christian?
Yes.
Are you ready to drive a car that's like driving a self-driving car? How many of you would trust that? I got some quick no's. I test drove a Tesla before I got my BMW, and I was driving in an unfamiliar area because it was in Pasadena, and they took me some areas that I'm not normally the two freeway from this. It was bad. I'm not familiar with it. And he took me on this curve, and there was a semi to the right, and the off-ramp that we had to get off because some construction was only about a quarter of a mile up. I couldn't handle it. This self-driving, it's supposed to turn around this curve on its own. Now, I've already had a problem by listening to somebody that's having me demo a car and doing what they tell me to do, and I learned that lesson. When they claim the car can do this and do that, I learned that lesson the hard way. I wasn't going to learn it again. So I held on to that way. I did not trust that car. But if Jesus wanted to take me around a curve, and from what I could see, the off-ramp was only a quarter mile up or less. And it doesn't matter that there's a semi on the right side. If Jesus tells me to do that, I need to do it. Amen?
Amen.
That's what advanced Christians do. Now, it may sound easy while we're listening to it to do this, to actually let go. But that's what advanced Christians do. Are you ready to be an advanced Christian? Are you ready to let go? Because we got used to, I know how to pray, and I know how to do this, and I know what scripture to grab, and I know what to say, I know what to do. Advanced Christians actually have to learn how to do less. Can you do less? Maybe you feel more comfortable if I ask you to do more. But you have to learn how to do less, especially when things get tougher. Are you ready to give Jesus the wheel? Amen? Let's go to our text. I'm making good time so far. Psalm 46. We're talking about advanced Christianity. You all know how I like the advanced class. I get excited about the advanced class. I get excited about being stretched, becoming better, not resting on my laurels, not focusing on what I already mastered, but being ready to master more. I love being trusted, believed in enough to have high expectations of me. That's how I like to roll. But today, we're talking about all of us moving on to advanced Christianity. Are you with me?
Amen.
Psalm 46 is our text. Now, we're not going to cover the whole thing. As a matter of fact, we're only going to cover a few verses to get what God wants to say to us today. And so we're going to start with a very, very short verse, and it'll sound familiar to you. That's verse 1. Amen? 46 and 1. Let's read it together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, I know the way you've heard it is a very present help in time of trouble, haven't you?
Yeah.
And that's not wrong, but just know it wasn't a direct quote. Hallelujah. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So, anybody have any trouble in their lives? Anybody got some trouble? I got some trouble. And so when you have trouble in your life, God is your what?
Refuge.
And God is your what?
Strength.
Let's talk about refuge for a minute. God is your refuge. Now, you've got some trouble. This means that God is your shelter. Shelter from what, Pastor? He's your shelter from all those heavy raindrops of trouble coming down on your head. He's also your shelter from danger. Anybody got danger in their lives that they're trying to avoid? But he's also, this is important to me, your shelter from falsehoods. Some of us aren't having financial troubles. Some of us aren't having any medical or health problems. Some of us have just a fine job, but some of us are actually dealing with the effects of falsehoods being perpetrated against us or about us. Understand that God covers it all. So he is our shelter. He is our refuge, whether it's rain or whether it's danger or whether it's falsehood. He is our shelter and he is our might. He is our strength. So in the sport of Christianity, you have God on your side and he is your offense and he is your defense. So if you're trying to grip the wheel, understand. He is your offense and he is your defense. He is your strength. He is your force when that is needed. And you don't have to be worried because he is your shelter. Now, if you don't have any Yadah knowledge about God, if you haven't been through it so you can say, oh, yeah, that's right, then you're still a baby saint. If you can't draw on experiences that you've seen God come through, then you're still a baby saint. But if you've got some experiences to draw upon, it's time to step up and act like you know what you know. Act like you know who you know. Act like you belong to who you belong to. Act like you serve a big G God. Because if you don't, the world sees a little G God. They already have that. They don't need that from you. They don't need that from us. It's time to step up to the advanced class. Amen?
Amen?
So he is our refuge and he is our strength. He is a present help. That means not just that he's there. That actually means that Hebrew word means he's available, he's attainable, he's reachable, he's on call in a time of trouble. So when you call out on Jesus, could you take this wheel? You do that more quickly than you used to, as opposed to gripping and worrying that thing that we're professionals at. Any professional worriers? Come on, admit it. Come on, come on. Mm-hmm. Worrying about the worst case scenario. What's wrong with us? Why are we so good at that? Somebody asks us to break down a problem. Here's the thing that we would be the best at. I can tell you the worst case scenario. I can tell you the worst thing that could happen. I can't tell you every permutation of the problem, every outcome, but I can tell you the worst thing if this happens and that happens and this happens. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And so I got to worry because I can't control whether this happens and that happens. But I can tell you that I can imagine that worst thing and I can grip the whole time. I can worry my way through it. That's not advanced Christianity. And that's what we're aspiring to. Amen. So he is our shelter, he is our defense, and he is our offense. You say, put me in, coach. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. Now, we are not the boss of him, but when we've done all that we can do, all that we are supposed to do, we need to get out of the way and let him drive. That's what an advanced Christian does. That's what the world sees when you're an advanced Christian. Amen? So now, here it is. We've got this amazing God who is our offense and our defense. Let's look at the next couple verses. It says, therefore, since you got this amazing God that's on call, will we what? We got any fear in the house? We got some fear. We got some doubt. We got some worry. And we got some confusion. Still up in the house. That's not advanced Christianity. So it says, therefore, will not we fear? Though, meaning although, even though everything that you read after that is happening, read it for me. Therefore, will not we fear? Keep reading.
Though the earth be removed. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Yes, yes. Selah, that means a refrain. You take a break. You take a breather. So we've got this amazing God at our disposal. We've got the best driver possible in the car, the best sailor possible in the boat. And we grip. We need to learn how to let go. Says he is our refuge, he is our defense, he is also our strength, he is our offense when trouble comes, and because of that, we should not fear. So why are we still fearful? We've got the best possible person right there with us. We should not fear. And if you look at this scenario, we're talking about the earth being removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, is there anything you're going through that's worse than that? Anything you're imagining that's more difficult, more harrowing than that? Anything, we talk about mountains to climb. How about there ain't no mountains? Would that be better? You like that better? Or would you rather try to climb that mountain? Though the waters thereof, talking about the oceans, like the biggest tsunami you could ever see crashing up against, when the mountains got to tremble because the waves are so big, you're talking about a big wave. So he is our refuge and our strength, especially during the potential outcomes of what you imagine to be the worst case scenario. So if you think the worst case scenario might happen, what should you be seen doing? Not holding the wheel. But all too often, our thoughts are based on fear. All too often, our decisions that we make are based on fear. All too often, the actions that we take are based on fear. We'll marry the wrong person because we worry the right person ain't coming. We'll take this job because we don't have the confidence that God's going to give me the right job. We can know it's not right, but we're fearful. Or we'll use our credit card to buy something because we're fearful everybody else going to have it and we won't. They do that to you on QVC and HSN and all. Oh, my God, how many? We only have 20 left. Oh, we only have 20 left. Ain't that something when the worst case scenario is I won't get that thing? Oh, my God. Everybody else will have one. And, oh, we may not put this up anymore. This might be the last time. They know how to manipulate you and get you to think, well, the worst thing that can happen, I don't want to press those buttons. Too often, our decisions are based on fear. What you ought to be afraid of is, where am I going to put that thing after I buy it? That's a good fear when you got too much. But our thoughts and our actions and our decisions are too often based on fear. That's not advanced Christianity. And all too often we're thinking of the worst case scenario. And we learned a few weeks back the worst case scenario don't apply to us, right? So why do we focus on it so much? Why are we imagining it so much? Why do we let it dominate our lives so much? Because listen, we're natural, we're humans. If the worst case scenario was staring you in the face, and you don't have God, you should be trembling. If the worst case scenario is likely to happen to you, a human would be gripping. But the worst case scenario doesn't apply to you, but Satan has this beautiful weapon that he uses on us. Even when we have God in our lives, he gets you, he gives you circumstances and situations, and he gets you to use your eyes and trust your ears. And so we start imagining what's the worst thing that could happen. And that's what we respond to. So when people have a conversation with us, that's what they're going to hear. When they see us making our decisions, that's what it's going to be based on. That worst case scenario. And guess what? If the worst case scenario is more likely, what should we be doing? Letting go of the wheel. So if you have a conversation with me and there's a lot going on and a very difficult outcome, it is certainly in the natural is possible. My conversation should sound like I let go of the wheel. Think about it. That's what an advanced Christian does. An advanced Christian won't necessarily make sense to people when there's trouble or challenges or big decisions to be made. It won't make sense to people. But they need to walk away from you if they're having a conversation with you and that's different. That person's different. They live by a different set of rules. Advanced Christians, a baby Christian don't look any different than the world in many cases. They don't know any better. But an advanced Christian, when you have a conversation with them about a tough situation, it should sound different. And we're being promoted to that, amen? Maybe some of us have been dabbling. You know, we finished 101 and wasn't really time for 102, but we kind of got the syllabus ahead of time and bought the book and started looking at it a little bit. Well, now it's your official textbook. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I like that stuff. You know I do. You know I do. I only have one more verse. Isn't that good? I'm really going to keep my promise, I think. One more verse. For this advanced Christianity, right? He is our offense. He is our defense. He is our strength. He is our refuge, especially with the worst case scenario. Especially. So let's look. We're going to skip on over. There's several verses here that we're not going to read that talk about all the things that God can do and will do on your behalf against your enemy, your in situation, your challenge, the thing that can cause you to worry. Amen?
Amen?
So let's take a look at verse 10. Amen?
Amen?
We're talking about advanced Christianity. We're talking about the fact that fearing failure and imagining and reacting to the worst case scenario as though it applies to us is what we should not be doing, right? As advanced Christians. So now we're going to talk about what we should be doing as advanced Christians. Your ears should be perking up now because you want to be an advanced Christian, right? That's what your calling is, by the way. It's unacceptable for you to stay at the basic level. So we go to verse 10. I want you to read that one out loud for me, please. So he's told us he's our offense and our defense. I've told you that the worst case scenario, your worst case scenario is not as bad as what's said here. And yet it gets us fearful. It makes us jumpy. We make bad decisions, rash decisions, all because we trust our eyes and we trust our ears and we trust what people say and we trust what things look like. But he says here, be still. Can you hear that? Be still and know that I am God. Are we going to be advanced Christians? Yes.
Amen.
So what do we have to know how to do? Be still and know that he is a big G God. Is God in your Bible capitalized? Be still and know that I am God. To be an advanced Christian, you have to do less. Is being still something? Does that sound like doing less?
Amen.
Your storms are raging. Your enemy seems to be winning. Your situation doesn't seem to be solved. The winds are blowing hard. I need you to be still and know that I am Lord. That's exactly what you find an advanced Christian doing when the storm gales rage the hardest. They don't grip the wheel tighter. They don't lean to their own understanding and their own abilities. Be still and know that I am God. If you don't have that, by the, that know that I am God, that's yada, by the way. Not have the intellectual understanding that I am God. We're not talking about proving all of the cosmos believers that he is God and that he exists. We're not talking about you get it in your mind with some facts and some thesis to prove that he is God. We're talking about you got to know yada from experience that I am God. If you can't have the yada knowledge that he is God, you cannot, you will not be still. It's not possible. Not possible. When you know that your husband is faithful because you've been through some times and you've seen temptations and you've seen him resist those temptations and you know you have a good man, when somebody tells you some mess, or my wife would say, pshaw. Got a long track record. She doesn't have to worry. She's got yada knowledge of not only what I will do, but why I won't do it. So the past is not always a predictor of the future, but it's a pretty darn good one. Yada knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, be still. That looks like a hard thing to do, isn't it? After you've done what you're supposed to do, can you, in the midst of your battle or your storm, are you ready to be still? Are you ready to be still in the midst of your battle? Are you ready to be still? Are you ready to be still, especially in the midst of the storm? That's hard stuff, isn't it? Sounds like doing less. Matter of fact, it sounds like, Brother Marcellus, doing nothing. Huh. The power of doing that. If you're not advanced, you can't do nothing. You can only think of the stuff you should do, or you wish you could do, or you wish somebody else would do. But how about doing, what should I do? What should I just don't know what I should do. Think about it. This is what we do. I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what I should do. That's the way we go. And somebody says, how about, I got an option for you. How about doing nothing? But no, but I have to do something. I've got to do something. I've got to turn left. I've got all this coming at me. I've got to turn left or right. I've got to put on the brakes. I've got to do something. How about let go of the wheel? But what but? You have a better driver in the car. You have a refuge. You have a strength. And he says, be still. And know that I am God. Be still, but and be able to be still by talking to, encouraging, reminding yourself that you have Yahweh on your side.
Yes.
Be still. I know it's hard. It sounds like doing nothing. Woo. But I'm almost done. But I got to tell you, it gets deeper than that. It couldn't be deeper than doing less in a time of trouble and the storms and all raging. It can't be deeper than doing nothing while everything's going crazy. I'm not even talking about praising and like Paul and Silas. I said, be still. Ooh, man, there's more to it than that, Pastor? Yes. Yes, there's more. Do you think you're ready to be still? Ready to do nothing? Well, nothing probably sounds really hard, so I'll give you a little something you're supposed to do, because the be still is a reasonable translation. It's a reasonable translation, but I'm going to give you the most accurate translation. All right, this word that's translated into be still. Let's talk about what it actually means, and you can have a crystal clear picture of what you, as an advanced Christian, are supposed to do, especially when the going gets tough. Are you ready for that? This word, this Hebrew word that's translated be still, means to sink. Understand, sinking meaning as if you dropped to the ground like slayed as a spirit. It means to relax. It means, does that stress anybody out? This whole idea your troubles are bearing down on you and you relax. I need you when the storm is raging to relax. It means to drop it. It means to let go. It means to be quiet. Oh, but I need to defend myself. It means taking your hand off the wheel and dropping the mic, because all that needs to be said has been said. Yahweh is my refuge. And drop the mic. Can you do that? Advanced Christians, that's what we do. Why is it important to have advanced Christians? Because baby Christians need advanced Christians, and non-Christians need advanced Christians. Baby Christians get people to, oh man, they're so fired up. People come to the church because they're so fired up, but that won't maintain people. That won't sustain them. So you need to be able to relax. I want you to imagine it, your tough situation. Picture it in your mind. You know what it is. And I need you to relax. If you relax, you might very well not look like what you're going through. If you relax, you might very well not sound like what you're going through. If you can relax. We could do an exercise right here. We don't have time. We won't do it. We could have one, maybe two, maybe three. If I told you to stand here and just relax and let all your weight go, if I put one person behind you, you probably wouldn't be confident, depending on who it is. If I put two or three or four, then you might get more confident. But that's what you got to learn how to do in the midst of your trouble as an advanced Christian, to let go. Can you let go? Can you, when the boat is going across the sea, like happened in the New Testament, Jesus said, let's go across. Okay. Some wind, he's sleeping in the bottom of the boat, and the wind start blowing, and they start freaking out. If it's not your turn to do any of the stuff to make the boat okay, how about you take a nap with him? He don't look worried, so why should you be worried? You got me in the boat, and I said we're going to the other side. So you're worrying, you're gripping, you're catastrophizing, you're waking me up from my peaceful sleep. What does that say? Anybody can do that. A little G God worshiper can do that. An atheist can do that. So we need to be able to relax. We need to be able to let go. We need to be able to drop it, and we need to be able to be quiet in the midst of the most difficult times. Changes how we think, changes what we do, changes how we show up to non-Christians and to Christians that need to see how it's done. Now, if there's a baby saying and they can't roll like that, you're role modeling. You're not banging them over the head for not being that yet. But it's graduation promotion time for us to become advanced Christians. And remember, in order to do this, you must know that he is God. Amen?
Amen.
So there's only one thing missing now. We just need some troubles to practice on. Is there anybody here before we leave now? I just want to make sure. Is there anybody here that needs to be equipped with, that's missing some troubles in your life to practice on? We all have something. I just want to make sure. Because this won't do you any good if you don't have any problems. Now, they can't be tiny ones. Tiny ones, we can figure that out. We think we can solve that one. So we think we got a solution, so we don't worry about it. We don't grip, right? But everybody has something. I know I do. Everybody has, you know most of the, I deliver, and only occasionally do I sit here and say, "Woo, that's for me. This was for me. This was for me. This is for me. This one's for me." And it's not that I don't largely roll like that. It's just that, I got to still roll like that. Even though, I'm pretty obedient. Sometimes I don't want to. It's rare, but there are, but I got to roll like that even. No, life ain't fair. You don't know the whole book. God does. You don't know the course the car is driving on. God does. You don't know the friction coefficient with the tires and the ground. God made them both. So we need to know who we're rolling with.
Amen.
We need to know who's co-piloting, who allows us to act like we're piloting. And so we just need to think about our troubles differently. Not because the troubles are any different, but because we are different.
Amen.
We are advanced Christians. And that's how we need to roll.
Amen.
We're not living fearfully. We're not making our decisions fearfully. We're not acting like we're rolling with a little G God. We are knowing that he is God. And we're going to relax. Whatever that trouble is, whatever that thing is, this is how we're going to face it. We're going to let go. We're going to say, I'm rolling with God. He's my offense. He's my defense. Drop the mic. Sleep peacefully. Class dismissed.